Hello and welcome to Happy Horror Time. My name is Tim Murdoch.
And my name is Matt Emmert, and we are back again for your weekly dose of horror. Should we make, oh, is that a good intro line, Tim? Like, no.
No, I mean, you didn't really blow my mind.
Oh, you're right. Do you know how many other podcasts probably say your weekly dose of horror?
I think there's only like three other podcasts out there, right?
Yeah, and they're like two of them are like news,
right.
And one is horror.
Right.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
We're really the only one.
We're the only one.
No,
we're coming
really
at you.
I really want to say thank you for listening because I know that there are millions of options out there.
There really are. So if you're listening to ours, that means...
you're cool.
And you've picked ours among a gazillion.
I'm going to say a billion with a B.
Even, you know what, sadly, even just if you type in like horror, there are so many podcasts.
I know, but you know what they don't have?
What?
Matt and Tim.
You're right. Oh, that is true. There is no other horror podcast. There's no other podcast out here that has Matt and Tim.
Right.
Tim and Matt.
Right.
Matt and Tim. We are coming at you right after Thanksgiving. You know what that means?
We're fat.
We are stuffed. I hope everyone out there had a great Thanksgiving, had tons of food, saw lots of family.
And
Tim?
I want to thank Matt and his boyfriend Jacob for hosting.
We did.
And I mean that like in like 10
like
turns.
Grindr hosting.
Yeah.
We invited guy after guy. It was like a turnstile.
Gross.
We hosted at our house in the valley. It was our first time hosting here. We only had like 6-7 people?
Yeah,
seven?
That sounds right.
Tim was here. Tim, how was the spread, if you know what
it
I mean?
It was a great spread. Lots of options. This is so filthy.
This
Turn
is
it
filthy.
Off.
I know. Great. And my parents listen to this.
They do? Hi, yeah. Phyllis and Larry.
Exactly. No, we actually had, we got like the main stuff catered. And by catered, I don't mean fancy. I mean just like,
right.
You know.
Like, what's a fancy restaurant in Beverly Hills?
I wouldn't even know.
So you don't have any Gucci?
No Gucci, Lady Gaga.
Oh.
No, and then we made some of the side dishes, and then we had everybody bring stuff. So Tim brought some pies and some crescent rolls.
I took home a pumpkin pie.
Well, because you brought two of them, so we kept one, and then you took one.
I know, but I mean, like, apparently pumpkin pie's not popular?
No, it was, I think we completely over-delivered on stuff. Like,
right.
I made a green bean casserole, this cheesy green bean casserole, this huge amount, and, like, the tiniest
Do
fraction
you guys still
of
have food left over?
Oh, my God, we were eating... all like we've been eating for the last couple days only Thanksgiving food.
I've just been eating like a Skittle that I found in the corner of my kitchen.
Oh, I bet you're so hungry.
I'm so hungry.
We
but
can
you know
make
what?
You a
the
plate?
Life of a supermodel, you wouldn't understand.
And neither would you. Okay, so no, Thanksgiving was great. And then we watched the Macy's Parade. We watched one of the movies that we are reviewing, which we will talk about in a sec. And because it was perfect timing for the holidays. But we are in officially in Christmas season, Tim.
Yes, and you know, I'm feeling it. I'm feeling the Christmas spirit. Can I tell you a story?
Yes, please.
Okay, so
only because it's 80 degrees outside because you're feeling
right?
the
you
Christmas
never even
spirit.
Know, but, yeah. Okay, there was like, I'm going to protect the innocent.
Okay.
There was a girl that I knew once. We were at a party in like high school and she came down the stairs and she sat down and she started crying. And I was like, what's wrong? What's wrong? And she goes, you guys, I'm not in the Christmas spirit.
She started crying because of that?
So to this day...
You say I'm
there. You guys, I'm not in the Christmas
spirit. Wait, are you still friends with this girl?
Yeah, I love her.
Oh, okay. So, do you still give her shit about that?
Well, I don't think we've ever spoke about it. Hopefully she doesn't listen to this.
Okay, well, whoever you are, we want you to listen and tell. What if, like, her interpretation is totally different? She's like, actually, I came down, you would slap me in the face, and that's why I was crying.
Yeah, I almost called you. I called you Neil. That's
your high
friend.
School friend.
Yeah,
hey, let's get out of high school and get into the present, Tim.
It's 1996.
Oof. Whoa, you dated yourself. Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm in the Christmas spirit because we have our tree up. We decorated. We have our Hanukkah corner because I'm Jewish and Jacob is not. And so there's way more Christmas decorations because there just are.
I think Hanukkah lights, the blue is really pretty.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I created them myself. No, we have our Hanukkah corner. We have our Christmas tree. We've got like some non-denominational
what
decorations.
What is the number one gift for Hanukkah for children?
I mean, it's like Christmas where you just get the kids what you want. But when you talk about like Christmas or Hanukkah toys, there's dreidels, you know, the game, the little spinning top.
Tops.
And you do with like, yeah, in Tim's case, it's a spinning bottom. What?
Disgusting.
And then you have, and then like where you can win like M&Ms or candy. But also, I'm sure you've seen Gelt, which are the chocolate coins. It's like the coins covered in foil and they're chocolate. That was a big Hanukkah
and
toy.
And when you say M&M, do you mean the rapper?
Yes, you played dreidel for M&M, the rapper. You played it for M&Ms or like pennies, but like who wants pennies?
I mean...
Yeah, so that is probably the only like iconic Hanukkah toy slash candy.
What is the Christmas where like you wake up, instead of having Christmas gifts under the tree, that's in your shoe? Is that in Holland?
Oh, I don't know. Hanukkah's 8 nights and you celebrate at night. So you light the menorah and each night.
Oh, I know the Adam Sandler movie, 8 nights.
Oh, you got it. You got it. I don't know the shoe gift. I will have to look into that.
It has everything to do with our podcast.
It definitely does. Well, speaking of stuff that actually does have to do with our podcast, we watched two new horror movies. The first one we want to talk about, you can only watch on demand. So if you have like Vudu or...
Vupu.
Or Prime Video, and you can rent it on that. What else can you rent movies on? Because Google Play doesn't exist
Vudu,
anything.
Amazon Prime?
Yeah, those are the two that I always think of when you think of renting, you know? It's so funny because renting is so different than, going to Blockbuster.
Well, you get it for what, 24, 48 hours?
I think you get it for $4.
But you can only watch it once, right?
No, I think you can watch it again.
So you can watch it
five times? I
think
if you don't finish it.
Oh, okay.
So just stop it. Yeah. Because I don't know exactly, but you do get it for 20 or 48 hours. But we watched a movie called, it's a smaller, it's not as well known. I guess it's more of like an independent horror movie called Double Walker.
Which I'm really happy that you found this movie, Matt, because I'm going to say this a lot. Yeah. It was filmed in Ohio, and I recognized every filming location, and I... Studio 35 movie theater. I saw fried green tomatoes there. It changed my life.
Yeah. Oh my God. So watching this with Tim, like as soon as first he was like, that looks like Ohio. Then he was like, that is Ohio. Then he wouldn't shut the fuck up about Ohio.
I was pretty awful.
Hey, oh my God, I know that movie theater. Oh my God. And then I hit him and then I did Scream 4 style. I stabbed him and said, shut the fuck up and watch the movie.
Yeah. And I did.
And he's okay.
Yeah. No, but I loved it because... I said, God, it really looks cold. It looks like Ohio. And it was.
I love that you spotted it. Like, of all cold environments, you were able to be like, hey, that's Ohio.
Instantly. It just had that look. And it was really, really weird because I haven't lived in Ohio in like a good 20 years. And like, the movie is so dreamy. I'm going to sound like a crazy person. I thought I was dreaming.
Well, okay. Well, getting right into it, I just want to read the log line for it because I feel like that's all I really knew going into it, that in the trailer. And it says a young woman's ghost investigates the mysterious events that led to her own murder. So right away, I'm like, oh, murder mystery, ghostly. But it's very, right away, it's just... It's so different than anything I've really seen. And just to set up the beginning, at the very beginning, you kind of realize that, or you find out that a young girl has died because it's a funeral and the parents, the dad is speaking and the parents are very sad. You see that a young girl has died and then it kind of switches to a guy in like a park who finds this very ghostly girl like dressed way too wrong for the weather.
She's just wearing, what's that called when you go to the hospital? It's like
a gown.
It's like a hospital gown. So it's just that she's barefoot.
Yes. Blonde, white blonde hair. So right away you're like, this has to be like a ghost. And she's not talking. And he, at first you think his intentions are good because he's like, oh, let's get you somewhere warm. But,
you know, this is where, like, I didn't know if it was a dream sequence. But, and I didn't want the movie to be like, I didn't want him to be a big perv. And guess what?
He was, because he takes her home. And okay, right away, if you pick up a girl who looks like she's totally
freezing.
Out of sorts, she's freezing, she's not talking. Don't take her home to your house. And then...
Yes, I think that he should have taken her straight to the cops.
Or to the hospital. But instead, then he, like, offers her clothes. And, like, she takes off her clothes and he tries to start, like, touching her. So, basically sexually assaulting
her. Well, before that, he offers her tea. And on the... there's, like, a spoon. And she takes the spoon. Are we going there?
Yeah.
Okay. So, she takes that spoon and she jabs it in his throat. And she kills
after
him.
But he touches her.
Well, he touches her first.
Yeah.
Which of course, there was a weird because, like, it was weird that she was, okay, like, you give me these clothes. She didn't, like, go to the bathroom and put the clothes on.
No, she takes it off in front of him. So I will say in that respect. No. I will say in that respect, maybe he could have thought, well, is she coming on to me? But either way, like, he starts touching her and she's not acting like she wants him to.
First off, this guy, if if you haven't had a conversation, I don't think your first thing to do is to have sex.
You're right. She has not even said her name.
Right. So and he's just like, this is normal.
Yeah. And so I'm going to start touching her naked body. But yes, as Tim said, they swoon in a very violent way. Like,
so gross.
Yeah. Stabs it.
In my foot, I was happy that he died because he was such a perv.
He was definitely a perv. And then it kind of switches into this. She's speaking in a narrative form, and she's talking about how she, I'm just going to skip and say that for some reason, this is the ghost of the little girl who died, and she's doing a narrative talking about how when she died, there are these, like, spirits that gave her a choice in the afterlife. She could
It's like these people that are out in the middle of the desert, and that you can't see their faces. They're wearing black hats.
Creepy,
and
they're
giving this little girl a choice.
A choice. And the choice is either you can spend one more day on Earth as a human to, finalize your affairs, say goodbyes and everything, or you can live forever on Earth as a ghost. And the only people that will be able to see you are, they said, believers and sinners. And by the way, when they said that, I was like, that's a pretty broad category. Yeah. Because me being so analytical, I'd be like, believers in what? In ghosts, in like God and religion, and then sinners. Aren't we all like, we all sin?
Like, did I cheat maybe on a spelling test?
So she says she chose the latter, which was to be a ghost forever. And so you put it together that she is now going and, I guess, like hunting down sinners, because obviously the guy who picked her up could obviously see her. So it was obviously a sinner. So now she's like a ghost that's kind of taking revenge.
Right. So apparently, I mean, the movie is, because it's called Double Walker, there's two storylines going on. And like, so then like the sinners see her.
Well, right after that, she meets a guy at Tim's favorite movie
Studio
theater.
Studio 35.
Yeah. Well, and by the way, interspersed between these scenes of her, she goes back and is visiting her mom who's grieving, and her mom can't see her. So her mom obviously does not believe in ghosts.
And sleeps.
Yeah, but you can tell right away at the very beginning, you're wondering, a little girl doesn't just die. So there's a little bit of a mystery because you don't know why she died and you don't know why this ghost is. You see little clips of the little girl the night of her death. Her mom is gone and her dad welcomes all these friends into the house.
The three guys that come in
are the three guys she's hunting down. So later, you're putting something together. And at first I'm like, did the guys like murder her? Did they rape her? But you see the dad with these friends and they bring this girl in.
I thought it was a sex trafficking
movie. It was. They have a girl and they're like, hey, she's not even 18. And she's like, hello, I'm to the... And then they kind of disappear in another room.
Did it remind you of Twin Peaks? Because, you know, Twin Peaks, I'm giving away Twin Peaks.
Oh,
it was the dad and the daughter.
True, but the dad was in Twin Peaks. He had a spirit. He was like possessed by a spirit of a murderer, meaning it wasn't him. In this one, there's no possession. It's just the dad and his friends are doing creepy stuff.
But there is an element.
There is the ghostly element. Yeah. No, totally. It had that Twin Peaks feeling. You're totally right. And also, as much as I know we're explaining it probably sounds complicated, it didn't feel complicated watching it.
No, the movie's very well done, and it was fun seeing Ohio.
Oh, we got to get to when she... So she meets a guy at Tim's favorite movie theater. What's it called again?
Studio 35. And he's like super nice to her. He can see her.
Yeah. And so right away, I remember Tim and I were like, what did he do wrong? Is she going to kill him? But you realize, oh my God, I think he's actually a nice guy. He must see her because he's just a believer.
Right. So like, I kept waiting, you know, because the first scene when she jabbed a spoon into that guy's neck, you're like, is that what's going to happen?
Yeah. Like, is she just taking like revenge on awful men?
You kept waiting for some horrible scene to happen, but
no, and also that's why I was waiting too, because he takes her home and you're like, oh God, is he going to go? But he lets her sleep on the couch and doesn't touch her, doesn't do anything.
He checks in on her and she like leaves.
Yeah, she leaves the next morning. So you're like, okay, maybe he's not a bad guy. Well, she keeps going, and throughout the movie, she's hunting down each of the friends of the dad. So of course you're like, they must have had something to do with it. I thought one really fun, cool scene was the car wash one.
That was really cool. Like, he goes in. Yeah. And then when he comes out, his throat is slit.
But what's cool is that while he's in the car wash, you see her rise up in the back seat you know, with like a white hood. Everything is very white and ghostly in this. And then it just switches. You don't see the murder. And then the car just comes out of the car wash and his throat is slit. I just thought that was cool. You know?
I agree. It was very well done. And you know what else? The girl's eyes. Do you remember the Wes Craven film Deadly Friend?
Of course. I can't be friends with you without knowing that movie.
I love
Deadly
Friend.
One of Tim's favorites.
I do love it. Yes. She had like the makeup like Christy Swanson did.
And I didn't know if that was, she had like the black eyeshadow all around. I guess that was supposed to be like ghost. And I know, and that was the one thing I thought was tiny bit cheesy. It was almost like, as a kid, when you think of ghost, you think white with black eyes.
Right.
And well, I was like, they made it really minimalist.
She was pretty pale, and she was wearing all white, and her hair was white. So it's like, don't you forget she
is dead.
Thought
that was a little on the nose. I will say, I guess you can't ask the question of why is the ghost of the young girl suddenly like 10 years older? Like, why isn't it her at the age she
and
died?
Naked.
Yeah, and why is she always naked? But maybe it's because so she could test and like come on to or get these guys to come on to her. Anyway, there goes a scene. She spends more time with the nice guy. She even, one scene I thought was really funny and Tim and I were talking about is like she goes to a party with him.
Yes.
And remember, she's a ghost. So all I kept thinking was, are people going to like see the guy dancing by himself when he thinks he's
dancing with her? She also drinks with him. So are people just seeing a floating beer can?
I know. So you're not supposed to ask those questions. That was one scene I thought probably could have been taken out because I didn't want to have to question who sees her at the party.
I'm pretty sure he introduced her to people. Just like,
I know.
No,
I'm just like, why is this guy walking around with nobody? Yes. I thought about that too.
I think they can see her. Was everyone at that party a believer?
I mean, again, it is such a broad category. I guess
Colin
he, West. I guess, well, and you know what I thought was really cool when I looked up more about this movie is that the main girl, who I thought did a really great performance, creepy and good, Sylvie Mix, also co-wrote it with the director.
Was she the naked woman?
Colin West, yes. Sylvie Mix is the girl in white who's the main girl, and she also co-wrote it. So meaning she wasn't just like an actress who was there for it. She also like came up with the idea. But anyway, as we move forward, she does hunt after one of the other guys, like I think the creepiest of all of them, who like tries to pick her up and take her to a hotel room.
Yes. And so, she, you know what? I kind of like that she, I don't want to say has fun with them, but she takes it far.
I think she pretends like she's going to be almost like a dominatrix. And then how does she kill that guy
in
the hotel room?
Okay,
I can't remember exactly.
She like pushes him back on the bed. And then like, then she climbs on top of him.
I remember that.
Takes her top off. Mm-hmm. And then, oh God. Then she takes that same spoon.
I thought it was a spoon or a pen. It was something
I think it's a spoon.
Yeah, I think you're right. I remember that.
She jabs it in his throat again.
Oh God. And she, but here's the thing that happens during this, and this is where like the double line gets crossed, is that someone walks in on them. Obviously someone who's going into the wrong room, and she,
I think he worked at the hotel.
Yeah, and she snaps and runs after the guy.
So he goes into the woods. She follows him buck naked.
And kills him in the woods. And as he's dying, he's like, what did I do? And you don't find out until later. This is where it's a little weird
so
connection.
Then she goes back to the nice guy. And then he's like, hey, my brother is
dad
is
supposed to meet us at the high school basketball game.
He goes to his brother's wrestling meet.
Or, yeah, I think, or his nephew or something.
And I recognize it was up Arlington High School.
Well, he keeps saying, why isn't my dad showing up? Why isn't my dad showing up? And then he shows her a picture of the dad, and it was the guy who she killed, the innocent guy who just
walked in
on her in the hotel room. And I think right then she realizes, like, she comes to this realization that, like, whatever her objective of like hunting after sinners or something, it's not working.
It
she killed
backfired.
And yeah, and she killed someone who saw her just because he was an innocent believer. And I think that's when she realizes like she can't be doing this.
But
then the movie gets a little confusing.
It gets a little confusing because then they jump back to the final act of the film, which reveals how the little girl died in the first place.
And you see that, well, first off, the dad, who seems so nice in his speech at the beginning at the funeral, is actually drinker and abusive, verbally and emotionally, and I think physically abusive to the mom.
Everyone.
But then the little girl, you see like the flashback, little girl runs into a closet to hide from the dad on Christmas. And then he has like some sort of
like a board, like a big old
something. I thought it was like a bat or just sometimes something to strike someone with. He's gonna try to strike the door that she's hiding behind right as she opens it to come out. And obviously he strikes her in the head and kills her. But
the naked ghost grabs it with her hand and like it changes history.
It's a weird butterfly effect because the flashback is meant to show you that the dad accidentally killed the daughter, and obviously nobody told on him. The mom just kept quiet and is miserable, and he killed his daughter.
What happened to the mom? Did he throw the mom down and she was knocked out?
I think she was, but I also think that she must have known it was his fault and she didn't tell on him. But what kind of clouds this is that, as Tim said, during the flashback, the ghost of the girl, the older, you know, blonde girl, stops the dad from killing him, and it like changes everything. Instead, she kills him, the dad, and then the daughter and the mom like almost live happily ever after. You see the nice dad who was innocent is with his son and he was okay, but the mean, awful guys lived. And you see this like alternate timeline that would have happened if she could have saved the girl.
When he comes out of the car wash, she's alive.
Exactly. So, but then it switches back and that really didn't happen. So it's
you know what it is, Matt? Double walker.
It's very weird, though, but I am interested, actually, in your interpretation of what that ending meant. Because for me, I didn't know if they were just showing us what could have happened or...
what did happen.
Well, but if the ghost... it's almost like if the ghost... okay, the whole big choice of one, you can live one more day as a human or forever as a ghost. Is that like if she lived one more day as a human, she could have changed the past? I don't know.
That's the million-dollar question. And I guess it's open to interpretation of what we're talking about right now.
I mean, it is like if the little girl had not died and let's say someone took revenge on the dad, then the little girl would have survived, but all the awful men would have also survived.
That would have been a good ending, too.
I actually thought it would have been. I know. I was, like, happy with that alternate ending because the abusive dad would have been dead. And even though the awful guys were still alive, at least the young girl was alive. At least the innocent dad was alive. So it's like they show us this taste of that alternate ending, but then they go back at the very end that wasn't true.
Well, I guess looking back on the movie, they kept showing the mom cleaning the hallway. So we didn't know if the daughter died or if the father died.
Well, at the beginning, she's cleaning the blood spot from the daughter. But, like, in this alternate timeline where the ghost kind of intercepts what happens and, like, you know, to save herself, that could have been the dad. It is a little confusing, but here's the thing. This is so weird. I don't know why, but I just really liked this movie.
I usually don't
like movies that make you question so much, but something about this made it okay.
Right. They filmed it in a way that it was calm and it was like dreamlike.
It was. And also, it wasn't so complicated. Like, these questions I'm asking it was okay. Like, there's some movies where you see it and you walk out and you're just so confused.
And you know, it's also credit to the filmmakers. It's not a glossy Hollywood movie.
No, it looked
like
low budget.
Everyone looks like someone you know.
And when I say looks low budget, I don't mean because the production value was low. I mean looks like they didn't overdo anything. Right. Even the kills, like, they were violent, but it wasn't like guts going everywhere.
No, it wasn't like heavily edited like a Scream film.
To be honest, this is the type of movie that I would have thought I wouldn't have liked because it was like that slow burn, like, up to interpretation movie, but I ended up really liking it. I just really appreciated it. I thought the performances were great. I thought it made you think just enough to be worthwhile, but not to be confusing.
Right.
You know, it had horror elements, but it also had sentimental elements.
Yeah, I just thought it was like very, I know I've already used this like twice, but it was so dreamy. I felt like, you know, like when you have a fever. A fever dream.
There's this thing. There's like a fever and you have a dream. What's that called? Oh,
it's
a fever dream.
It gives me fever.
It gives you fever. Mm. No, it was like a fever dream. I mean, and it felt cold and gray throughout, which I think worked. Like, if it was sunny and nice, that wouldn't have been
good.
And, you
know, I think there at one point there was snow, and I think it was real snow.
Oh, well.
I don't think it was, what's that, CGI snow?
Yeah. In Ohio, I guess they can have real snow. Yeah, it just worked. And so I will say, like, and that's why I like with this podcast, we try to, you know, talk about the big horror movies coming out because obviously we're interested in them and most people are going to see them. But sometimes we like to find these lesser known ones that you can only find on demand. And a lot of times the filmmakers of these movies are true horror fans. They have unique ideas and have like something new to add to the genre. And
I
felt like that was this. It wasn't your normal ghost story. It wasn't your normal horror movie. It wasn't too abstract. It was like just enough.
And I'm guessing all of these people live in Ohio.
They've got to, because I mean, why would they pick that, right?
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, unless... the movie takes place in a small town, so...
Yeah, it does, like I said, it makes you ask questions. I would say this for people out there listening to the podcast. I think it's like $6.99 to rent on demand. I think it's definitely worth it. I think that, yes, it's not your straightforward, like, supernatural, like... Conjuring movie,
like,
and it's
this is a ghost.
It's not going to be some big budget crazy effect stuff. It's like it's like a
thought provoking film.
Yes, thought provoking, ethereal, slow burn, but in a good way.
I thought you said cereal.
It's cereal. I love cereal. No, so I would definitely recommend it. I feel like
me
you
too. I give it a thumb up.
Just a thumb.
Just one. No, I'm too. This one's holding your a microphone.
Second, you cut your second thumb off.
Right, I cut it off.
Well, okay. So, yeah. So, that is Double Walker. Check it out on demand. It came out just a couple weeks ago. And I'm interested to see what these filmmakers do next. I think they've done short films. And this almost felt like it could have started as the idea of a... Didn't it feel like it could have been like a short film that was turned into it?
I didn't mind that it kept going because I was interested.
And it was only 70-something minutes. It's pretty short for a feature film, like I would say.
I think all films should be 70.
I know. Tim loves it when it was only an hour and 11 minutes. So yeah.
Wow, that is really short.
So switching gears to the movie we watched on Thanksgiving because it was perfect timing with the
holiday. What was
holiday.
It, a perfect movie?
Oh, God. Woo! We are switching to a movie that is in... It is actually out in select theaters. And by select, I mean like one.
You look for it.
I mean, Tim and I were looking and I like found one in Santa Monica and like one in like some Midwestern state.
I would have been... I don't want to. I'm not jumping to the wrap up, but I would have been disappointed if I saw this on a big screen.
Oh, wow! Usually it's the opposite. So, well, and
maybe
so
I would have given it more attention. Who knows?
Who knows? This movie was in select theaters again, very select, and on demand, and it is called Black Friday, as in like. You know, everybody knows
get
what Black
sales.
Like Black Friday. And again, when we saw this movie right away, I saw the trailer and it had Devin Sawa and Bruce Campbell. And I was like, sold. I love holiday horror. I love Bruce Campbell. I love Devin Sawa. So I was like, I didn't even care what it was about.
If you had to date Devon or Bruce, who
Devin.
Would you date?
Come
oh, really?
On. Come on.
I don't know. I like
First
older.
Off, Bruce is a little bit older. Not that that's bad, but Devin Sawa's hot and still
and you
hot.
You know what? His career is hot right now, too.
He really, I mean, Devin Sawa's coming off of, the thing is, for someone who, big child actor, then he did Final Destination, then we didn't hear from him for a while, but now he is like in the Chucky series, he's in Black Friday, he did that.
Hunter?
Yes, I was just going to say, wow, good memory, Tim. I was about to say, he did that Wolf Wilderness movie.
I remember, I loved
like that?
Wolf Wilderness.
Did we like that movie?
Yeah, remember the ending? It was so scarring.
Oh, yes. Wasn't the killer like someone we didn't think or something?
Someone got their... They were scalped.
Oh, like, the woman took revenge on him.
That's
yes.
But
Devin Sawa got killed early in that movie,
yeah,
right?
He wasn't the bad guy, right? Mm-mm. That's right.
Anyway, so Black Friday. Let's just set it up.
Okay.
In the trailer, you knew it was going to be a little bit hokey, a little like Army of Darkness, like cheesy Bruce Campbell in terms of it's basically people working at a toy store on it's actually the night of Thanksgiving leading into Black Friday. And all the shoppers get turned into zombies and
right,
start fighting.
It takes a page from the movie The Blob and something like shoots to the ground like this pink something.
Oh yeah, I guess I was doing it over, but yes, this beginning of it. No, to keep going.
So,
that was good.
So it's like a pink, I don't know, blob, and then like two security guys go towards it and it's they get eaten.
Can we talk about the opening scene? Because yes, it's two security
like
security
white
guards.
Stuff jumps out at them.
There's this weird pink blob, and first off, it starts opening almost like the egg in Alien. And right away, if some weird like alien creature starts opening, don't go up to it. Goes up to it and it shoots something at him that I'm sorry, I'm gonna go there. It looks like a cum shot. It really does.
My parents listen to this.
It's white gooey stuff that shoots onto the guy's face, and then he turns.
I mean, I'm sure that's what they meant. But.
I mean, he turns into a zombie, and then it like kills the other person. That's the opening scene.
It's interesting that they took a blob element and Return of the Living Dead element and mixed them.
They did. It was like zombies plus blobs plus like holiday stuff. So anyway, it switches to our main character Devin Sawa, and he's like dropping his kids off at his divorced wife's because it's Thanksgiving. He has to work. And my first thought was, and this is horrible because there are a lot, but like I was thinking, he has two kids. How does he support two kids just working like at a toy store?
If it's a small town, you know.
And also, I think they were talking about how the wife, the divorced wife, like was rich and they hated the stepfather
right.
and stuff
well,
like
you know,
that.
It was. Do you know the show Superstore on NBC?
Yes.
It kind of reminded me of that element where like each character has like I'm the manager. I want to get da-da-da-da.
But he wasn't like a man, of course, like a manager.
No, he was Joe Cool.
He was literally like Devin Sal was just a worker at the store. Anyway, regardless, and I'm only saying that as the he being a father of two, I know that working in retail is one of the toughest jobs
I
you can have.
I worked at Eddie Bauer.
It is, you're on your feet. You are constantly dealing with customers. Don't even get me started having to deal with Black Friday customers.
Don't even get me started.
He goes, he picks up another main character, which is a much younger coworker named Chris. And right away you find out that he's like a hypochondriac. Total germaphobe. And I found out he's the little kid from Super 8. Remember that movie Super 8?
Barely. I mean, I saw it.
Yeah. They go to the store and they're working at a store called We Love Toys, and the manager of the store is Bruce Campbell. And
do you remember Children's Palace?
No.
Toys R Us?
I mean, yes. Okay. F.A.O. Schwartz.
Listen, that's for rich kids.
It's for, you're going to New York. It used to be like a tourist attraction.
Sorry. Go on.
So, you know, they introduce you to all these characters. There's the young, pretty girl that Devin Sal is having like a fling with, who's like 20 years younger than him. There's the Bruce Campbell, who is the store
only
manager.
Only interested in getting the sales.
Oh, there's the, and I hate to say
employee
this, but I got to say
month.
There's the do-gooder girl who's employee of the month, Anita, I think her name was. There's the manager guy, I think his name is Brian, who, of course, they have to make flamboyantly gay.
But, you know, it's never confirmed.
I mean, but, like, they made him so sassy and bitchy. It was just, again, totally fine.
I was waiting for his demise.
Yeah, it was. You hate this guy. And I just, like, I want, like, you know, I want more likable gay characters, Tim.
Trust me. I thought the germaphobe might have been gay.
Oh, I didn't get
that
vibe. But you never know. It'd be nice if there were more gay characters that it was just like, maybe one casual comment was like, oh, my boyfriend, and then you never revisit it. Like, it's just a normal thing. But like,
this was 1987.
This was like Jack on Will and Grace, that the manager, sassy, like, he's mean to everyone. Just, you hate him. And I'm like, that's great. That's great. You're right. He never says he's gay, but like, you know.
We're putting 1 + 1 = 3. Yeah.
So, right away, like when they open the door, well, first you find out that the manager, I mean, it's totally, there's definitely a perspective of retail on this, because the manager like had promised them bonuses and then said, oh yeah, you're not getting bonuses.
Oh, yeah, but
like,
that's
they're
not
horrible.
Revealed till later.
Yeah, well, when they open the doors for Black Friday, I do love how like the people are running into the store.
Right. And you know, I will say this, the store was very sparse as far as, I'm sure there's all the, what's that called? The copyrights and everything.
Oh, like the amount of toys
they could show and stuff. The shelves looked pretty empty before they even got the
store.
They
had some generic toys, but they did have some branded toys. I can't remember. I did see one. They probably
cuties.
Had to get tons.
I saw cuties.
Tons of permission for that.
Oh my gosh. So they had to like, those toys and that toy store were generic. Yeah,
so Devin Sawa's character is training a new guy. And right away, the new guy gets like taken over by a zombie. And the whole movie goes into like total chaos, where some of the shoppers have turned into zombies. And at first, they don't believe the young hypochondriac guy when he has to fight one of them off.
Right.
And they think
what's that called when you put him to the chair?
Well, they tie him to a chair
because they think
he assaulted a customer.
Like, you can't zip tie your employees.
It's not until they're all in the back and they're like, there's something wrong. The shoppers are going crazy. They don't all know it. And they all finally realize that there's a zombie outbreak, because the new employee who's a zombie comes in and kills the do-gooder by like, remember, it's like shoves that thing through her neck.
Yeah.
That was good because everyone hated her.
But they're still discussing like, do we shut down the store?
I know. They're like, what do we do? And then they kill Anita. I think her name is Anita. Yeah. And she obviously, they're good at killing the people you don't like.
Right.
And
I think the movie needed more of that.
She gets killed brutally, but what I loved right away is that, like, nobody reacts. Like,
right. Like, there was a little delay and, like, okay, there's something major happening.
And that, they just murdered someone. Like, again, I always find horror movies funny when, like, nobody reacts to the fact that that was a death.
Like
in real life, if you see someone get killed, that is traumatizing.
Right. Like, I don't need, like, realism, but I need some kind of reaction.
Yeah, well, then it just kind of devolves into total chaos, where they kind of split up. Like, some of the people go to try to shut down the entrance. Some of them go in Santa's village in the store. They discover that pink mass is like It's ingesting the shoppers and becoming bigger.
It's getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah, it's becoming bigger because it's like a blob. Like Tim said, it's like ingesting the shoppers and building on it, which is just, I don't even know.
I'm not trying to be mean, but like the 1988 blob looks so much better than this. It looked like a computer graphic.
It really did. Oof. And then it's like poor the older woman, Ruth, who works there,
that gets
run. Like they see a cop coming and they think it's coming to help him, but obviously it's a zombie.
It just drives right through the store and hits her.
It drives right through and hits her. And then the movie... Michael Jai White, he's like an action guy. He played Archie. You think he's going to be like the hero and he like helps to save one of the people and then gets killed. Like he gets killed so early.
I thought it was a bummer that he was taken out so early because he didn't even get the big scene, which comes next, where they all sit down like the Breakfast Club and like reveal everything. I mean, the movie comes to a screeching halt.
It is. There's like all these action scenes that are like over the top and people are getting killed. Then they all go like in the back and they have this weird, like we're all admitting like
who we are,
like, and there's like fighting, like why we work in retail, and it's like Devin Sawa gets in a big fight or argument with the young guy and is saying like you'll never be anything but a retail worker. Like it gets serious.
Yeah, and speaking of serious, I was listening to another podcast, shout out to Danny Pellegrino podcast, and he
podcast called
Danny Pellegrino.
I love anyways, something Danny Pellegrino.
He was interviewing Devon Sawa.
Yeah.
And he revealed that he's 15 years sober.
Oh.
I thought that was an interesting aspect of the film.
No, good for him. That actually makes sense because, like I was saying, right after Final Destination, he kind of disappeared.
But in the movie, he was drunk. Like, he had a flask.
Oh. It's called acting.
I don't know what that's about.
I'm sure it wasn't alcohol.
I bet it was.
Or he's like, I'm real. Jumping off the wagon. Yeah. Well, it's just weird. They reveal that, like, Devon Sawa, like the young girl is like, I can't have a relationship with you. You're like the age of my dad. And then the young guy. But then Devon Sawa actually cares about the young guy because he's like, you're so much better than this. Like, don't end up like me. It just gets really serious. And I remember we're watching it.
The movie takes a turn.
Yes. And we were like, okay, what's going on? Like, I was all kind of amped for like the zombie violence and stuff. And then it just stops.
It becomes way too real because there are people that work in retail. Me have done it. Whereas like, these are the characters that you work with and it's all kind of sad.
But like, I guess the reason why it was so out of place for me is that character development can't be happening while there's zombies outside the doors gonna kill you. Like, I mean, like, have that happen before that, because you'd be crazed.
They each say before they do their little monologues, they're like, hi, my name's whatever, and I've worked here 4 years. And the other person's like, I've worked here 2 years. I've worked here 11 years. I'm like, what is going on?
And it's like, the whole time, like, half of their coworkers have been murdered. Yeah. There's still zombies in the store. And there's a blob. I know, exactly. Nobody's crying. Nobody's scared. But then there's like, there's more chaos. And Devon Sawa, you think, you find out later more, gets bitten by a zombie. And they tell him that, like, he can't go with us because he's gonna turn into a zombie.
Oh, but then the bitchy gay guy.
Well, that's later. Oh, I was gonna wait. I love that you called him the bitchy gay guy. You homophobe. No, no.
Listen,
well,
I can say
they
that.
Split up. They decide they're gonna go, like, to the rest of them, the ones that are left, which is Bruce Campbell, the girl, the young boy, and the bitchy gay store owner, go off and leave Devon Sawa in the store by himself because they think he's gonna turn into a zombie. He has to, like, maneuver through the store himself, right. But he's Devon Sawa.
Coming in contact with the customers that were so horrible, and now they're zombie horrible.
It's so funny because they focus on one, like, grandma woman who's,
who wears
like...
A necklace. What did the necklace say?
I thought it said grandma, right? Didn't it? Or did
I think you're right. It did.
Something, but she's like the worst customer when she's human. So she turns into like the worst zombie and it becomes so like
comical?
Over the top.
But guess what?
Comical.
I'm not laughing.
Exactly. Oh. Hey, comedy needs... Well, here's the thing about when you're a horror comedy, you need equal doses of horror and comedy.
It's the
were
hardest
Were you scared
line?
At all in
I
this
was
movie?
I was not scared and I was not laughing.
No, that's so the problem. Like, if you're a horror comedy and you're not scary or funny,
But you know what? My favorite scene in the movie is when they were all revealing why they worked at the store.
You mean because it was like a soap opera?
I did like the soap.
Well, to move forward, okay, so Bruce Campbell, who is not a likable boss, at the end, he has this weird part where he sacrificed himself and...
He didn't need to.
That's the thing. They're on the roof, and the zombies are going to be coming up there, and he decides to just jump down in there, and I didn't know if he did
it. It's not like he's even saying, like, save yourself.
I didn't know. Like, was he trying to help them, or he has this line where he's like, I'm almost like the captain of the ship in Titanic. Like, I'm going out with the ship. He says, like, I'm going out with the store, and he jumps down to kill himself.
He's basically committing suicide.
Exactly. Like, his death didn't serve any purpose. None. Like, he just kills himself, and I'm like, okay, well, there goes Bruce Campbell. So it's down to the young boy, the girl, and the bitchy store owner. They finally get out to the outside of the store, and they see the blob has now become this humongous, really B-level looking creature.
It is. You're being generous.
I thought it looked like a 1950s Godzilla movie
but
creature.
But maybe they were going for that kind of shtick.
I mean, it looked, in 2021, to have something for a sort of big budget movie to look so, it looked like a creature that
it
was in
like
Godzilla.
It looked like something we could make on our Insta stories on Instagram.
It really did. And it's rising above the store, and it's huge, and the bitchy store owner tries to, like, talk to it and gets just, like, knocked out and killed.
Which was kind of like, too little too late.
Well,
I know.
You wanted him to get killed earlier, but at least he gets killed.
And a little more graphically.
Yeah, he just gets thrown. It almost felt like it was PG-13. Other than gross. No, it wasn't. But I'm saying it felt like because the violence. Well, I guess there was some violence.
Was it
PG-13
though?
It wasn't. No.
It was rated R.
Yeah.
That movie that we watched was rated R.
Yeah.
There was nothing in it that really read rated R to me.
I know. Well, there's some stuff that was kind of gory, but it
not enough.
So Devon Sawa makes his way out of the store and meets the girl and the young guy, and they're like, "Oh my god! Oh, you find out that I've skipped your part. The bitchy store owner,
the best part,
had bitten Devon Sawa just because he didn't like him and said he doesn't deserve to be with us. Like, basically,
so he just bit him to think that he was bitten by the
so that he would be killed and be pushed in the store alone and be killed by. And they're all like, "You're a horrible person."
Right. So another reason why we wanted to see him leave.
Yes, exactly. And so it's down to the last three, and I don't even remember how it ended. They like drove a forklift into it.
Yeah, the germaphobe grabs a fork, like it shoots out the white stuff. It picks up the forklift. It jabs himself in the face, and then it explodes.
It was the weirdest thing. Yeah, the forklift, it like makes it explode, and they like have killed the monster
because
of a forklift.
So then they get in the car. Is it three of them?
It was just the three of them. It was the young girl that Devon Sawa was having the affair with, Devon Sawa, and the young hypochondriac guy. And yeah,
they drive off and then they see another blob.
Well, as they're driving off, and there's this joke that like Devon Sawa wanted to get pancakes with the girl in the morning. So they're like, "Let's go get pancakes," because you know, after all this death and murder, you want to get pancakes. And as they're driving off in the distance, you see there's multiple monsters at other stores,
which
meaning
is basically the end of the Invitation.
Yeah, basically that like whatever alien thing or meteor has come down has like affected all of these stores in the area. So it's basically the end of the world. So it's not like a happy ending.
Happy,
you know?
Black Friday.
Exactly. It just felt like, so here's the thing. So all in all, Tim, what'd you think?
I wanted to love it. I saw the trailer. I liked Devon Sawa. I watched the movie and I think I knew what they were going for, but it never got that tone right. Like between comedy and horror, it's such a fine line. A really good film that does that is like Jason Lives.
Oh, see, yeah.
You know what
I
mean? Even Scream.
Yeah, I was going to say, how about that little known movie, Scream?
You know what I mean? Like, it's such
a
fine line.
I thought this movie was kind of poopy, I got to say it. I feel like that's the only way. It felt like it wanted to be like a B movie, but it had too many stars to be a B movie, so that when you saw the really B level, like graphics, you were just like, what?
Right.
Like,
I am all for not great graphics if it lacks that, then go the other route and make it really gross and bloody.
Or have some suspense, like maybe some scary scenes. And I don't know. There were so many things that I think kept me from enjoying it. At the very beginning, I was into it because I wanted to see like all these crazy shoppers, and I love that. But like you said, like they killed off some characters that you wanted to see more of too quickly. Some of the deaths you barely saw, so you didn't see like the death. I wanted to see more of the zombies and the blob.
Yeah, and
they didn't
see
a ton of that.
They sold it. I mean, at least the trailer made me think it was going to be all zombies.
Yeah, and you didn't see a lot of it. Like you said, in the middle, it came to a screeching halt with this weird, like very serious Breakfast Clubby scene. Then,
which I actually liked.
Yeah, but what would you like? But it has nothing to do with horror or comedy. Like Bruce Campbell sacrificing himself. It just like
and they,
I just
I feel
had
like
lost
they
interest.
Done more with Bruce Campbell.
Of course. Like, when you have a Ned big Campbell. Name like that, you have all the Campbells in it. Wayne Campbell. The Campbell Campbell. Campbell Scott.
Christian Campbell, Nev Campbell's brother.
Campbell Soup.
That's no, I don't, too much. Soup Campbell.
Obviously, this was more Devin Sawa's movie than Bruce Campbell's movie. It just, like, I here's the thing. I guess maybe we're judging it too harshly because it wasn't trying to be serious.
Right. I mean, I get it. I get we're not, it's, the whole thing's not supposed to be serious. But if it's not supposed to be serious or scary,
then it should at least be funny and you should
entertaining.
Be laughing. Yeah, I know. No, it's okay to say. I just think this movie could have been a lot better. I think it had potential because of the
right.
cast.
That's
I think
the
idea.
That's the frustrating thing with it. It has all the. It has all the potential.
It's almost like Shaun of the Dead worked because it actually was funny.
I know
like,
people love that movie. It's not my favorite.
Oh,
movie.
You don't like Shaun of the Dead. But this, it was no Shaun of the Dead, which is funny because I think it's getting okay mixed reviews, like meaning people aren't tanking it. It just wasn't my cup of tea. Right. It's the kind of movie that I feel like the only way I'd watch it again is if I had it as like background
right.
stuff during the holidays. You
right.
know?
It's not my cup of tea, but it might be like a sip of Gatorade.
Just like a sip. I just feel like I remember when you and I were watching Double Walker and we were both like 100% invested. Like we were really
like, where's
paying
this
attention
going?
All
What's
the time
going
watching
on? Yeah.
This movie. Like we were taught, like it just like we were kind of out of it. I didn't really feel for any of the characters, even Devin Sawa. They like, I didn't know if the young girl was supposed to be likable because when she made fun of Devin Sawa for being like as old as her dad, I was like, okay, well, you're still sleeping with him. Like, and
well, no, she did clarify they were just making out.
They were okay, you're right, sleeping, you're right, just making out.
There is the difference,
you're right. But like, yeah, like Bruce Campbell wasn't likable, the store owner wasn't likable. I just was like
no,
a little,
no, you know what, I think you're right. As I hear you saying all this, I don't think there was one character that I was like, such a cheerleader for. Maybe yeah. maybe the germaphobe. Maybe
he was. I mean, Devin Sawa was kind of likable, and he really did want to be a good dad for his kids. Yeah. But like, again, it just went in so many different directions. And also, again, I don't know why, but I just have a problem with movies where people die around them and they don't react. Like
right,
it just
right,
is
right.
like it's just like a whatevs.
Like,
you know,
just another day at the toy store.
Keep on going. Yeah. And so nobody, they just did. There wasn't a lot of reaction. But again, maybe we are judging it too harshly.
I know. Maybe
I
we
think
are.
That there's going to be a lot of people that are going to love this movie, especially people that love kind of the Bruce
I
Campbell.
Hope they do.
Well, the people that love the Bruce Campbell campy movies, like the really campy, because the original Evil Dead is campy, but it's still kind of scary. Like, it wasn't until
no,
like the third
movie,
one
this
that
movie
it,
is not. Even comparable.
No, it is not. But, I, you know, they are going to get a lot of people watching. And also, whenever you make a horror movie based off of a holiday or an event, it's definitely going to be something people are going to watch because when Black Friday comes around again, people will be like, oh, let's watch Black Friday, the horror movie,
right.
you know?
So good. Kudos for doing that.
Exactly. I just think there was a lot more could have been done. And I wasn't impressed.
I think it was an uneven... But I was happy it was made only because, you know what I mean? Like, I think it was hitting us, like, we're like, oh gosh, we have to see this. But I think the end product was not up to the trailer.
It is funny that of the two movies we watched, like, I went into this definitely thinking, oh my God, we're going to love Black Friday, and who knows about this little, you know, ghost movie. And it's so funny how the result was the opposite. Yeah. We loved Double Walker, and we're like, not so much about
I think
Black
the expectations
Friday.
Were too high for Black Friday.
And it is interesting that it wasn't released in more theaters.
You know what,
like,
maybe that's, everything we're saying could be the reason.
Like, maybe people didn't want to
show it. They're
like,
maybe the studio's like, maybe we'll just...
But horror is so popular
bankable.
Right now, and
yeah.
it is making so much money. And here's the thing. I know there's a ton of movies that came out around Thanksgiving right now. I know, like, Belfast and House of Gucci and all those types of movies. But for horror lovers, they want to have a movie to see at the theater.
Counter-programming?
Well, the last horror movie that came out of the theater, Halloween Kills, then Antlers. But what else has come out horror-wise at the theaters?
Nothing. I would have seen it.
Yeah, so Black Friday. And who knows? Maybe if we'd seen this at the theaters, we would have been more into it.
Maybe.
But
maybe
on the big screen.
Because we were giving it our full attention. I mean, granted, I just had a huge meal.
Yeah, that Blob, though... Even on the big screen, I think it would have looked even cheesier.
Oh gosh. But then maybe we would look at the movie different because, like, oh, this is what they were going for, like cheesy.
Yeah, so I guess what we're saying is if you can find the three theaters in the US playing Black Friday, see it in the big screen.
And bring a lot of popcorn and become a blob yourself.
Yeah. But if you're you're looking for something like different that like is will keep you invested, it makes you kind of think that's like creepy but not over the top. I'd say Double Walker is worth a double take, Tim.
Good one, Matt. Do you like that? So since I saw House of Gucci, how many Gucci shirts do you own?
Zero.
What?
How many times have you seen Lady Gaga in concert?
None.
I've seen her once.
Wow. How many Kelly Clarkson?
Seven.
You're a loser.
And that's what I'm thankful for, everyone. Having a friend like Tim to remind me you're a loser.
Just kidding.
I think that's a good way to end as well. Anyway, hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving.
Yes, happy Thanksgiving.
Yes, and there's lots more to come as we get closer to Christmas 2021 and 2022.
Christmas cookies.
Christmas cookies. Yes, we have lots. So get ready to watch. Make sure you're watching all your Christmas horror. And, you know, there's some new horror movies coming out that we're going to review that I think some are related to the holidays. So we'll see.
Yeah. And go back and listen to our old episodes because I sound younger.
Well, okay. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Happy Horror Time.
This podcast is hosted by Matt Emmer and myself, Tim Murdoch. It's co-produced and edited by Jacob Randall.
We release episodes every Sunday, switching off between reviewing recently released horror films and interviewing horror stars and insiders. And we have a ton of fun along the way.
You can stream all our episodes directly from our website, happyhorrortime.com, or wherever you listen to your podcast. And make sure to follow all our social media pages on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Happy Horror Time.
If you'd like to support this podcast, please sign up to be a patron at patreon.com/happyhorrortime. Patrons get access to our growing library of bonus episodes where we discuss older horror films, look back at popular franchises, and all kinds of fun horror stuff.
And if you'd like to contact us, send us an email at happyhorrortime@gmail.com. We love hearing from our listeners.
I'm Matt Emmert.
And I'm Tim Murdoch.
And we hope you have a happy horror time.